Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to just share a Bible reading with you now so that when I come to share the word shortly, you'll already know what I'm talking about. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, iPads, iPhones, Androids if you must, paper. Reading from Luke chapter 2 this morning. Just want to share the shepherds and the angels. Reading from the New Living Translation this morning, picking up in verse 8 and reading through to the end of verse 20. It says that night. Everyone say that night. Which night was it?
Night.
It was that night. What a night. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly. Everyone say suddenly. So that night, suddenly. Wow. You ever had a that night suddenly? I'm not preaching yet, I'm just reading. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So that night, suddenly, the Lord's glory surrounded them. I could just preach on that. Only I had the opportunity to write this Christmas story, it would be bigger than Ben-Hur. I just see the pictures as I read. They were terrified. So that night, suddenly, the Lord's presence, glory appeared and surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Good news that will bring great joy to all people. Isn't that awesome? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined, there's another suddenly. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel told them. What a wonderful passage. What an amazing story about the revelation of Jesus being born to common men. Amen. So God's word, can I share with you a little bit about the Christmas story that God's laid on my heart for 2016. Amen. I read out this passage here, and as I said the other week, I actually shared it at the local chapel up at Investigator College. And as I was preparing to speak to that primary group, the Lord really placed it on my heart, the important message that the angels actually brought to common people on that night. I wonder how many of you will start packing down your Christmas stuff tomorrow. You know, like it's Christmas Day today, in case you hadn't realised that. Most of you realise that, that's good. But tomorrow a lot of people will start packing down their Christmas trees and putting their lights away and packing up the tinsel till next year. Some will leave it till next Monday week, which will be the day after New Year's Day, and they'll start packing away. But I want to just reinforce today that the coming of Christ was not for one day. The coming of Jesus' Son was for you. It was for you today. It's for you tomorrow. It's for the world. So I want to just share a few thoughts about that this morning. amazing year that we've been through. Sometimes have been very exciting. Some of them have been filled with goodness. Some of them filled with love. But, you know, some of the things we've faced this past year have been quite tragic. They've been horrendous. You know, they've been, you know, young lives lost in car crashes, people lost in sickness and disease. You know, just the sadness of getting a bad doctor's report or a financial crisis that you've gone through. I stop and think about all the things that have come in 2016, and it still brings me back to this passage here. You see, Christmas seems to be a feel-good time. You can put away all the bad stuff just for Christmas Day. You can celebrate, you can laugh, you can carry on, you can gather around with family. But you know, the coming of the Christ, the coming of Jesus, God's only Son, that we celebrate at this time of year, is bigger than we can imagine. It goes beyond Christmas Day. Let me share with you out of Luke chapter 2, just two verses, verses 10 and 11, and this is where the crunch of my message comes from for today. It says, "Then the angel said to them," who are them? The shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born for you today, in the city of David, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." I want to focus on three words from this passage here today. The first one is the letter U, Y-O-U. The second one is born, and the third one is Saviour. "For it is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Saviour." I want to see this first word, "you." I want to focus on that, because I believe God is saying that He, God, is giving you and I something, or rather someone special. The passage here, it says God is coming down to earth to live amongst all the opposition, all the oppression, all the violence, all the death, all the sickness, all the disease, all the disease, all the poverty, all the lack. I want you to think of it this way, that this is so ungodlike that God would send His only Son to a place that really didn't suit His Son because it was so messed up. Isn't God supposed to be different? Isn't God supposed to be set apart? Isn't He supposed to be separate? Isn't He supposed to be far removed from sin, from grime, from dirt, and the dirt of the sin? When God said the word "you" through His angel on that day, He indicated that in the birth of His Son Jesus here on earth, over 2,000 years ago, it was intimate, it was personal, and it was direct. In this message from God through the angels to the shepherds, He said there's a baby born for you the shepherds, for you the people of Bethlehem, for you King Herod, for you the astronomers coming from the east, for you Mary and Joseph, for you the world, but for you here this morning, and for me. In Jesus, excuse me, God reaches out. He touches us and says, "I know your life. I know how it can be. I know the things you love and what make you happy. But I also know the things you struggle with. And I know how hard life is." He's saying, "I know all about you. But I'm not going to sit up here in heaven any longer and remain unconnected from you." He said, "This birth of my Son is for you. Friends, if you're not absolutely convinced this morning about God, if you're not convinced about this God stuff that we talk about here every time we gather, God actually expected you to come here today. He expected you to sit and listen to this message and receive Him into your heart. God says this morning to you, is born a Saviour, Christ the Lord. We'll look at that second word that I talked about a few minutes ago, and that is the word born. I want you to think of it this way, that God is born. God is born here on earth through His Son, through His servant Mary. God is being carried in Mary's womb for 9 months. God goes through the process of childbirth just like every one of us here did today. One way or the other. You and I went through childbirth. Christ, the Son of God, comes through that same process. He sits and He grows within Mary's womb for 9 months. It wasn't an instant conception and an instant birth. It was a conception and a waiting period. And Jesus grows within Mary's womb, and Mary grows as her son grows. Is it too much to comprehend this morning? But God comes to us. He comes to you as a baby. Born, red, wrinkled, covered in all that slimy stuff, gunk. If I was writing this story, it would be in full living colour. You think some of the epic movies are great? I think I would paint this much better than even Dr. Luke did. I don't think I'd have stables. I don't think I'd have mangers. I don't think I'd have donkeys. I don't think I'd have wise men travelling on camels. But here is Jesus, the Son of God. Born out the back. No room in the inn. Unnoticed by most people. Laid to rest in an animal feeding trough. That's got to be extraordinary. It shows to me how much God wants to be close to us. So close He wants to be to us that He becomes one of us. Can you picture that? God sends His Son to be carried in a virgin's womb, to be birthed through the birth canal. Too much information, I know. To be laid to rest in an animal's stable. God loves us to such a degree, He's prepared to go to extreme lengths. Not only is He born in a stable, but He dies a shameful criminal death on a cross. Jesus is born into a family, just like you and I are born into a family. His mother holds Him to her breast, loves Him and cares for Him, for every need, like any mother does. And His Father gives Him a godly model for His Son to follow. Like any little boy, Jesus grows up. He learns. He watches His Father in the workshop. He watches His Father in worship. He listens to His mother tell Him stories about His ancestor, King David. And just like you and I, He experiences new things. God doesn't need any of that, does He? It's not for His sake that He was born, but for ours. God, who was without beginning, takes on a beginning. Can you picture that? God, who is without beginning, takes on beginning. Complete. Goes through the stages of growing up learns from his teachers. God, who is eternal and cannot die, becomes human and is subject to death. For you, he is born. Which brings me to the third word this morning. Are you with me? The third word I want to talk about this morning is the word Saviour. Well, this morning, the saviours in Australia are already working on our beaches. They're called life saviours. They rescue people from drowning. They tell people who are in danger of drowning, come in, or move to left, move to the right, watch out for the rip. Come in, there's sharks. They breathe life back into the dead or the almost dead person. But the angels announce through this passage in Luke, to you is born this day a Saviour. This child whom the angels announce is the one who will save you, save me, save us from the guilt that weighs you down and stops you from getting on with the life he's called you into. He saves you from that nagging feeling that somehow you have to measure up. That you have to come to a certain standard, but knowing there is no way you meet God's perfect standards. He saves you from a meaningless entrance in all there is to life, in being born, growing, learning, working, getting, achieving, having, dying, full stop. You see, Jesus is your Saviour, who comes to give life. Life in all its fullness, in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. He comes to offer you eternal life, ongoing life, life with God as life is meant to be. For you, friends, is born a Saviour who says, your sins are forgiven. To you is born a Saviour who says, be healed. To you is born a Saviour who says to the storms we face, be still. To you is born a Saviour who allows his hands to be nailed to a cross to rescue us from death itself. He gives us life. That's the greatest miracle of all. Sometimes, friends, we look at our world, our lives, the lives of the people around us, and wonder what's going on. Why is life so confusing? Why is life so demanding? Why is life so difficult? When we look at the baby in the manger, we wonder why God go to such extreme lengths just for you and I. Remember the first miracle that was recorded in John's Gospel? It was when Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, and he turned the water into wine. Listen to what the Bible says just after that miracle. John chapter 2 and verse 23. It says this, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. And why not? He goes on to feed 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. It's easy when someone turns roughly 820 litres of water into wine. It's easy to believe when a multitude of the heavenly host proclaim the truth from a celestial choir loft. But it's not always easy to maintain that same belief when you're sick. When the kids are crying, when the washing machine blows up, or the car won't start. It's not so easy when you get laid off from work. Not so easy when your spouse leaves you. Not so easy when your parents are dying. All of a sudden, belief isn't nearly as easy. Hey, isn't that life? You see, you and I can't live forever, ever at the manger in Bethlehem. The reason Christian faith and the Christian church has survived and flourished over the past 2,000 years is that there's always people who choose to believe. It's interesting that soon after the angels have gone and the heavens are still and life is normal, some people believe no longer. There are some that still believe. I love the worship of the shepherds in verse 20 of our passage in Luke chapter 2. It says, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, as it was told to them." Consider this morning. The shepherds' circumstances had not changed. They were still shepherds. They still had that dirty, undesirable job. They were still looked down upon by general society. But the shepherds returned to their daily life, but they returned differently. They returned changed forever. As a result, they glorified and praised God. When you and I were saved, we did not immediately become rich, famous, happy, healthy, and we definitely didn't become immune to problems. Though our circumstances have not changed, our hearts should have. Like the shepherds, we can return to daily life, glorifying and praising God. You and I may look at the Christmas story and think that we have heard it all. Been to Christmas stories since I was this high. Mum took me when I was in her arms. But regardless of how many times we hear it, regardless of how many times we read it, to me it still shows the amazing love of our God for us, for you. To me, this story documents the greatest gift that has ever been supplied to mankind. You know, when man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God promised that one day a Redeemer would come. This Redeemer came as the Savior of sinners. Right through the Old Testament, God worked to bring this event to pass. Every sacrifice, every ritual of Jewish worship, everything God did was moving toward the day when the Lamb of God would enter this world and pay the price to save us from our sins. This chapter in Luke shows that the Father's promise was fulfilled. Friends, there's only one answer to this. That is God's love toward us. Jesus is God connecting with you, wanting to give your life purpose, wanting to help you when it seems life is tearing you apart. Can you do without this gift from God? Can you ignore this message from God Himself? You know, there's those that profess to keep Christ in Christmas, and they do. The problem is, not only do they keep Christ in Christmas, they leave him there the very next day. Friends, the shepherds were an integral part of Christmas. But I really pray that we see them again and again and again as eternity unfolds. When you stop and think of it, Mary and the angels were the only common denominators that we see in Jesus' birth and in Jesus' death. Besides Jesus, the angels who announced his birth and the resurrection and his mother Mary were the only two that stuck with him throughout the whole story. The angels were in their job description. And Mary was there because Jesus was her son. There was more to it in that for her. Her life was changed forever by the child she brought into this world that day. Every moment of every day would be changed from that point on in her life. You see, Mary's was not a half-hearted experience. It wasn't a Christmas Day only experience. It wasn't a part-time commitment or a New Year's celebration. She was 100% committed to the child she called Jesus. She was there at the cross when her son died. When Luke lists in the beginning of the book of Acts, the gathering of the church, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, he writes this: "They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus." And that's what Jesus is looking for today. He wants us to come to the manger with the same attitude as Mary when she said, "I am the Lord's servant." Friends, to you, is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is the Christ, the Lord. Consider, is it just merely celebrating Jesus because it's Christmas Day? Or do you reflect in your tomorrows because of the celebration of his birth today? It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Will you receive it? And will you apply that gift to your life every day that you breathe here on planet Earth? Amen.